This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
I think people are naive when you think of someone that's a multi-billionaire. How many meetings does he have a day? How many people are in his grill? And they're like, look, Stormy Daniels is losing her mind. And he's like, yeah, just throw her 150 grand. What does he care? He's a guy, he's got to go to another meeting. He's got 14 other companies to run. And she means nothing to him. And so it's like, whatever.
All right, it is 8:16 and time for this. Or not time for this. We don't need the intro. Don't worry about it. Let's go ahead and we'll talk to Dave. Dave, you're on Ask an Attorney this morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Morning Show.
What's up, Dave?
Buddy? Well, I just had a question. My girlfriend, she's been working for a company for about 7 years now, and she reported harassment at work. There was a guy that he just hired, and he was harassing her. And she went and bypassed her manager, went straight to HR and reported it. And they ended up writing her up, giving her a written warning, saying she was wasting company time and resources for reporting this. I was just wondering if there was any type of legal recourse for this kind of situation.
Huh. Doesn't seem like a normal HR reaction when somebody says...
I think this falls under the hashtag Me Too.
Yes.
Look, well, you know, again, I think that it's great that you're calling in for your girlfriend, and obviously you care for her because your tone is one of defense. But I think that the way that you describe that story, it's almost impossible to believe that that's actually what happened. I mean, in this day and age.
Oh.
I mean, if somebody sexually harasses you and you go to your HR department and they write you up, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. None of that makes sense to me.
That doesn't make sense.
You can't sexually harass. Here's your legal advice.
Yes.
It's against the law to sexually harass a coworker.
That's true. Let's see.
Never done it.
Here's a 781 text. My car was damaged by an open manhole. I have receipts to prove damage. Can I sue on this?
So you can sue the city or the state for defects in the road. They have to have knowledge of these defects. You know, with an open manhole cover, you know, I don't know if there was work going on and they didn't have barriers up or they didn't have a police officer there or if it's something that somebody else took up. But they do have to know that it existed. If this thing fell off and 10 seconds later you drive over it, the city can't be held necessarily responsible for that unless there's some other negligence involved.
Did you have a Domino's pizza in your car? Because they'll fix the pothole and replace the pizza.
Here's a 617 text. I think I've seen these kind of stories in the news. I recently hit the lottery for a big number and am also in the process of getting a divorce. Is my wife entitled to any of that number?
Greg, could you write down that number for me again?
You want to get a hold of that person?
Please call me at armyandroach.com.
Yeah, what's the deal on that?
If you are currently married, even if your divorce is pending, you know, again, Massachusetts is what's called an equitable distribution property state when it comes to divorce, which means that we look at all property no matter when or where acquired. And then we use the term equity, which is another word really for fairness. So, yes, it is a marital asset. Then the question becomes, is it fair and equitable for you to divide it? And chances are she's going to get some of it.
Can I just give a heads up to the rookie?
Yes.
Whenever you win anything in a lottery with, you know, which has got a lot of money, get your friend, like I have a Richie, get him to cash the ticket in so it's in his name, not yours. You throw him 10% and bingo bango, she gets donkey.
You know, there are people that make a career out of that.
Yes.
Here's a 860 text. I broke up with my ex last week. I told him I had to, I told him he had to send me my house key, my stuff, and $300 for a plane ticket. He told me he's not doing any of that. Do I have any legal recourse?
Change your locks. Let's start with that. Because if your creepy ex-boyfriend won't give the house key back, you need to change your locks.
Change your locks.
Change
lock your first floor
life.
Windows and get a system in place with your friends that if they don't hear from you in 12 hours, that they're going to send the police over. As far as the other stuff, you can sue them in small claims court, but you know the chances of you getting these things without any kind of verbal contract or written contract or agreement for him to provide you these things back, it's going to be iffy at best.
Okay.
But change your locks.
Change your locks. Hello, Mark. You're on the Framingham Ford studio line during Ask an Attorney.
Good morning, everybody.
What's going on?
A good question.
Yes.
My father recently passed away 3 months ago. And my younger brother, I'm the oldest. My younger brother, the estate hasn't been settled yet. And my younger brother's going for his gravel permit on a gravel operation he had with my father. And I don't see how he can be granted a gravel permit when the estate isn't even settled yet.
So I guess what you're really asking is your father had a business, it sounds like.
Right.
It sounds like that business through the estate is going to your brother, not you?
Apparently.
Okay.
But does the will say that, or?
Well, the will says if he dies, me and my younger brother each get a share.
Okay.
Do you have a majority share, or does he have a majority share, or is it equal?
I believe he might. I don't know how it's work. I'm meeting with his lawyers this afternoon, and I'm kind of, like, stuck.
Yeah.
Are you bringing your lawyer?
He hasn't even contacted. They didn't even know he's dead yet.
Are you bringing your lawyer?
I don't have a lawyer yet.
Well, here's some free common sense advice.
Larry Army.
Get a lawyer.
Yeah.
Don't walk into an office of lawyers when you have already a dispute as to an estate which seems to be substantial in value without a lawyer, because you are literally walking into postgraduate school out of kindergarten when you do that.
Yes. Yeah. Now, we've discussed, you highly recommend getting a will. Of course, in the news today, Aretha Franklin did not have a will.
You know what's funny? And a lot of those people don't have wills.
Yeah, and
that's crazy.
Her net worth is $80 million.
That's crazy, too.
And that will be split between her four children.
Prince didn't have a will either, right?
Yeah,
correct.
So you, what should a will cost for those who are thinking about doing it?
So if you're getting a simple will, you know, I'm going to leave everything to my spouse, and if my spouse isn't here, to my one kid, you know, you're not talking about a lot of money. And this is the thing that people don't get. You know, a will is anywhere between, you know, let's call it $750 for a will, a healthcare proxy, and a durable power of attorney, which is all things that anybody out there should have. It's not a lot of money. People think that they're going to go to a lawyer and they're going to spend $5,000 for a simple estate plan. It's simply not true. You know, there are some lawyers that will charge you that, but there are others that will charge you a heck of a lot less.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney on the Hillman Morning Show at 8:23. This is Melissa. Hello, Melissa.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's
We're
up?
Big fans. Love the show.
Thank you.
I had a bit of a freak accident. I wanted to get your guys' advice. I stepped into a sinkhole in the road, and it was about 2 to 3 feet deep. Really banged up my leg bad.
Where was this, Melissa?
In Boston.
Okay, a sinkhole. You stepped into a sinkhole in Boston. Okay, you got hurt.
Yeah, I was getting out of my Uber, and with all my weight, just fell straight into this thing.
Oh,
so
was that hole visible? Was that sinkhole?
Could you see it? Was it visible?
No, it was. I just couldn't see it. The door opened, and I went right into it, and badly banged up my leg. Had to go to the ER, through ambulance, MRI, CAT scan, the whole thing. Luckily, I didn't break it, but I've got a blood clot now. And I guess I'm just trying to figure out, you know, do I have a case? Is it worth getting some legal advice versus the city? We found out the sinkhole has been there for months.
What street was it on?
It was on a main road in Bunker Hill, Charlestown.
Okay. All right.
So let me say this to everybody and anybody that wants to listen about personal injury claims. They don't cost a cent to go to a lawyer and get a legal opinion. Lawyers, for the most part, 99.9% of them in this state anyways, or this commonwealth, do not charge you a cent for a personal injury case unless they win.
Yeah.
Or until they win.
Yeah.
So, yes, everybody out there that you've been in an accident or that you've been hurt or you fell in a sinkhole, call a lawyer. It's free.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally able to get free legal advice.
And then what do? Negotiate what that lawyer gets out of the settlement?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a pretty standard fee. And most lawyers take 33%. You know, and the reason is because, you know, for example, a medical malpractice claim, Greg, your expert fees could be well over $100,000. So the lawyers, they're getting these fees, but they're also paying all those costs to put the case together. So, you know, if you don't win, you don't pay them that $100,000 back. They eat that.
Here's a 978 text. I let my brother drive my spare vehicle for the past year, and he decided to take an inspection sticker from one vehicle and put it on that vehicle instead of getting it inspected. I was not driving, haven't driven it in over a year. He got pulled over, and I now have three charges, which includes forging a sticker. Ooh. Am I to be held accountable for this?
Well, the forging of the sticker, they have to prove that you did it. So I assume that, you know, you haven't made any statements to the police, and if you have, it's basically what you just said.
I hope your brother would take the blame for
so
the whole
you would think
thing.
I mean, that was really where I was going, Greg. You let your brother drive your car for a year, and then you end up getting arrested because of what he did.
Can I simplify this?
You can.
Invite your brother over Sunday afternoon with a 30-pack and then beat the living daylights out of him.
Do not do that, because then you're going to jail for assault and battery.
Neither Larry Army
nor didn't we warn you that he's not on his A game today?
If you're going to file for Chapter 13 or Chapter 7 bankruptcy, do you need an attorney? That is a 617 text for you.
So I do believe you need an attorney with a 13. You used to need an attorney with a 7, but I believe now you can file a Chapter 7 by yourself. But I will tell you this. Filing bankruptcy, you don't go to the state courts, you go to the federal bankruptcy court. So right off the bat, you're in a world that most lawyers don't know how to navigate. Number one. Number two, it's extremely technical. There's means tests, which means your income levels have to be a certain era way. There's different distinctions between commercial debt and consumer debt. Not an easy thing to do, and it's really not that expensive. You know, and Greg, we also talked about this before. You know, if a bankruptcy costs $2,000 and you have $50,000 worth of debt, mentally, just get to the point where you believe that that legal fee is 2,000 scratch tickets with a $50,000 winner. It's guaranteed.
It's a win. It's a win. All right. We have questions about being evicted for what you are doing that is against the rules, and also about whether the security deposit gets claimed for that. We have questions about the wrong prescription, and questions about estates and whatever else you want to talk about. We are in the middle of Ask an Attorney with Attorney Larry Army Jr. Before we get back to the questions on the phone and on text, I want to ask you about something we have discussed a lot this week. The golf course incident in Plymouth, in which an individual bit off the finger of another golfer, and his attorney said that there are things that we don't know about this. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing.
He was hungry.
Attorney Army? Is there a case where, let's say, that man felt threatened, or they were in a fight, and he said that he were punched? I mean, is there a case where you are justified in biting the finger off of another?
So this is actually an interesting question, because I just had this conversation yesterday in court with a couple attorneys, and evidently the guy that bit the finger off was on the bottom of the pile getting pummeled.
Yes.
And, you know, all of us said, look, there's no rules in fighting. If somebody's on top of me punching me, I'm biting and kicking and pulling and screaming like a little girl.
Sure. Yes,
sure.
Yes.
You know, I don't have LB's mittens on. You know, biting is fair game for me. But it comes down to this. At the end of the day, if he didn't start the fight and it was self-defense, I think he's got a pretty good defense to that.
He might have a pretty good defense.
Now, having said that, he's going to walk around the Commonwealth of Massachusetts as the guy that bit off the guy's finger.
Right.
And for the rest of his life.
And he will never be invited back to Bushwood.
That seems cool to me. Oh, you're the dude that bit the finger off.
All right. Here is a text question for you, Attorney Army, on Ask an Attorney. My daughter is headed off to UNH. Congratulations.
Great school.
And get ready to pay. And told me that she got a fake ID. What are the repercussions if she is caught using it?
So, Greg, being a father of a daughter, as you and I both are.
Yes.
Good for this guy for having his daughter be able to sit there and tell him the truth.
Absolutely.
Like, God bless you, buddy. Yeah. You've done something right.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, your daughter, on the other hand, is doing something very wrong. In Massachusetts, she could face jail time for being caught with a fake ID. Highly unlikely, but could be up to 3 months. There's a fine that she could face. But the important thing is it's a 1-year loss of license.
Ah, okay.
So that's
we don't know about New Hampshire because you don't practice there. But
she's got a Mass license.
Yeah,
she's coming from Mass.
Yeah,
it's definitely going to be Mass. It's a problem. Now, the other problem is if she's in college, Greg, that's totally different than the law. You know, so to kind of give this guy the full answer, you got to look at your college's rules and regulations because there is a chance that some of these colleges expel or will throw you off the dorms. There's 100 things they do with these kind of offenses. So that's more serious than the legal ramifications.
They all get them in China now, speaking for a friend. That's where I know that's where they all go, and that's where they get their IDs in China. Let's see. This is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Long time.
Oh,
not a boy.
Just to clarify, I just got a follow-up text from the parent, and she wants us to know that she's the mom, and the daughter told the mom that she got the fake ID. That wasn't the dad that was texting in.
So, you know, I have a feeling they're going to end up in divorce court, Greg.
But
I'll give you the credit, Mom.
Yeah,
good for
credit,
you. Kudos to you as well.
What's up, Joe? What's your question?
I just wanted to say that Larry is the berries. Larry, I'm Joe. I'm married to an attorney, and my two kids live in Massachusetts because of you. I have 50-50 custody because of you. And
I did wake
up on Christmas morning at my house because of Larry. And when I went in to see Larry, he said, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z for you. And he did all that and then some. He had to actually keep nudging me in the courtroom to say, stop smiling and things like that. You know?
You're making me blush.
I can actually like see that happening, too.
Yeah, I do have a tendency to yell at my clients from time to time.
Speaking of that, here's a 978 text. Wife and I have been separated for 10 years. We have no kids, and we don't own a home. Will this be a simple divorce?
Well, that should be a simple divorce.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Massachusetts, there's no such thing as a simple divorce.
I mean, look, there are cases such as this one where if the people just want to end the marriage and they're both looking to keep what they have, which after 10 years is a pretty reasonable opinion, you can get this done real cheap and real quick.
And real quick?
Yeah, it's called the joint petition for a divorce. So there's two kinds of divorces. There's a 1A divorce and a 1B. One is when you have one party that's filing and the other party's not participating in that. The other one is when both parties agree. It's a joint petition. You have your lawsuit that you file, your financial statements, and your separation agreement all on the same day. Typically, you can be divorced within 2 to 3 weeks.
You can text your question on the text line, which is 97107, or call on the Framingham Ford studio line like Peter did for Ask an Attorney. What's up, Peter?
Hello, good morning show, Larry. Thank you for taking my phone call.
My pleasure, Pete.
Carl, I'm trying to make it quick and easy as possible. I have a tenant. He's basically a pack rat. Going through him, dealing with all his junk. I actually rented him a 2-bay garage on my property to keep all his crap out of the yard. He just keeps filling the yard. I gave him a 60-day notice, but my question is, when he leaves, if he does not remove all his junk from the yard and the garage, can I have that removed by a trash company, a moving company? Is that going to be on my expense? Am I going to have to take him to court to get the money back?
Oh, he's like a hoarder. Okay.
Yes,
and so,
yeah. It looks like Stanford and Son over here. Right. And they'll clean the yard up. They'll clean the yard up. I'll tell him, like, clean it up, you're out of here. I'll clean it up, and then within 2 weeks, I mean, I could open up a used bike shop over here.
Lamont, you big dummy.
All right.
By the way, great show.
Great show.
Great show. Red Fox, one of the funniest people ever to walk the
park. Great show. Great show.
So, this is one of those situations, Greg, where the person in me wants to say, throw it all out. But the lawyer in me knows that's the wrong advice. You can get all of that stuff out of there. You cannot throw it away. You cannot bring in a moving company. What you need to do is you need to go into the housing court, get an order, And then you'll have the sheriff's department and the community that you live in comes in and they store it and they take it. It's a seizure, basically. In the real world, you wait a couple months, you don't hear anything.
But what if they come back, like, say, after, like, almost a year, they come back and they still, like, do they still have a grudge?
That's why I gave the real answer first, right, which is you really should go to court and get an order and have the sheriff. But, I mean, that's 1 in 100 right there that somebody's coming back after a year. But hoarders keep their stuff for
a reason.
Right?
They do, right? Yeah. This is Dave. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's up, Dave?
Well, my dad's in a nursing home.
Yep.
And we're in the process of selling his house. And they said that the nursing home can use the money from the sale of his house for his care. Is that true?
Yes.
They can take the money from the sale of his house instead of the state paying.
Yes, they can. You know, the individual in the nursing home has to be without any money before the Medicaid takes over and starts to pay.
It's
that,
not without any
unless
money.
There's a trust, like a revocable trust or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, but even still, you know, this is, again, this comes down to proper estate planning, you know, and when people don't go to a lawyer to talk about this stuff before it becomes a problem, then you have an even bigger problem. You know, and that was my point, and I think your point earlier, Greg, that it doesn't cost a ton of money to go out and make sure that your ducks are in a row. There's a look-back period in Medicaid, Medicare, those types of things. So for these nursing homes, I believe it's still 5 years. So if you, even if you sold the home within 5 years of their admission to the nursing home, the state can still come get that money. And they will.
This is Joanna on Ask an Attorney. What's up, Joanna?
Hi. So I have a question for you. So my mom went to get a prescription at CVS, and it was a really advanced antibiotic.
Yeah.
And they gave her someone else's prescription.
Oh.
And my mother never looked at the bottle and took this other prescription. And now she's ended up in the hospital. She's been in the hospital for almost 2 weeks now. She still has the original. CVS asked her to bring the prescription back that they gave her, and she didn't. She still has the bottle.
Yeah.
Does she have any kind of medical malpractice or anything like that?
So I'm not sure it's necessarily medical malpractice, but there is 100% a lawsuit against CVS for, at a minimum, negligence. You know, they failed to use the standard that a reasonable pharmacist would use when they give you the wrong prescription. Your mom, unfortunately, has damages because she's been in the hospital. You know, this is, you know, again, this is something you should give a call out to somebody, and, you know, you potentially have a real case here.
Here's a different type of junk question.
Okay.
Divorced for 6 years now, and the ex still hasn't removed all of his stuff. He did take one truckload out. Can I get rid of his stuff? He is a legal beagle and a real jerk. We don't speak. Will he be able, if she throws out all his stuff, will he be able to do anything about
that? So when I do a separation agreement, you know, we put a timeline on these kinds of things. It says, look, spouse shall have 60 days or 90 days, whatever you negotiate, to get their stuff out of the property. At which point in time, if they don't get it out of the property, it becomes yours. Now, I don't know what your separation agreement says, but again, that's the ones that we do typically call.
You have to have everything in that kind of agreement, since, you know, the people don't really
get
along.
What scares me about this, Greg, is when she calls her husband a legal beagle.
Yes.
You know, to me, that means maybe he's a lawyer.
Yes, okay.
That's always a tough fight.
Yeah. He's probably keeping the stuff there to get under her skin.
I'm guessing.
For the last 6 years, she's been looking at her ex stuff.
Yeah, but this poor woman, I'm guessing that her place right now looks like
Lamont, you big dummy.
Looks like Sanford and Son over there.
The big
there,
one.
Right? Yeah.
Elizabeth.
That's tough. So you cover that in your divorce agreement, is get rid of the stuff, get your junk out of here, and stay away for stay away forever. This is Zach. Hello, Zach. Zach, hello. All right, Zach, not there.
Zach,
or disappeared. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
What's going on, Eric? You're on Ask an Attorney.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, all right, long story short, I've been divorced for about, I don't know, almost 7 years. My ex-wife has a boyfriend that my kids stay at his house. He stays at their house. I just recently been remarried.
Yeah.
And she refuses to let their new stepmom be around my kids.
Aha.
So she still loves you.
Right?
She still loves you, buddy.
It's so bad. it's crazy. She's just impossible to deal with. I was going to file for a modification. Is that correct?
I mean, that's one way of doing it. You know, the other thing is, if you have an order that says the kids are going to be with you, I'm fairly certain it's not going to say at a certain address.
Okay.
I don't see any way that she can stop that. So you might also have a contempt proceeding, depending on what your separation agreement says.
Yes,
it sounds like this is one
correct.
Of those things you're thinking about walking down and filing it yourself. But I'll tell you that you have a couple different options here. And for example, a contempt, Greg, when you file a contempt in Massachusetts, you're alleging that one party willfully violated an existing clear and unequivocal court order. The nice thing about contempts is if you're able to prove that, the court must award you your attorney's fees. So, you know, this is another one of those things that people, they kind of shy away from going back to the lawyer after the original deal because they're sour with the person that they hired or whatever it is. But this is one of those things that you can get help. And a lot of times, the help's not going to cost you anything.
Does the parent...
The thing was, like, when I got divorced, like, she didn't want any third parties. Like, it's not like I'm just, like, you know, whoring around with some girl. It's my wife.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, it's my mother's daughter-in-law now and my brother and sister's sister-in-law. And
does your agreement say that
now.
You and she can't bring the child around any third parties?
Yeah, that's what she wanted.
No,
yeah.
Does the agreement...
But she can do that. I don't understand. I mean, I hate the state, but...
No, but does your agreement say that you can't bring a younger smoke show third party around the kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it on both ends? Is it for just you or you and she? Is it a mutual clause?
No, it's just me.
Well, your lawyer's a...
She's my wife now.
Really smart guy.
He's legally married, yes. You know?
Yeah. He may be in trouble. Now, is that often a thing where in a divorce, the spouse doesn't want the children to be introduced to some kind of a rogue overnight visitor or things of that nature?
So let me tell you, there is many cases people want this language in their agreements. Unless you are dating somebody that is like a level one sex offender with a bracelet on their ankle or a convicted murderer, courts don't, or drug addict, you know, maybe an alcoholic, courts don't really care who you bring your kids around as long as they're safe.
Yeah.
If it's somebody that's unsafe or that has a history of being unsafe, that's a different story. You can get this kind of thing. But what went on here is that this guy either had a lawyer who caved in or didn't have a lawyer, because I don't know why anybody would agree to that. And I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. You're talking about a hypothetical with a hypothetical person down the road. No judge would have ordered that, my friend. Now that it's there, you're stuck with it. So you're definitely going to file the modification route.
Yeah.
You'll win. You're going to spend some money doing it, but you'll win.
Here's a text. I asked work to pay me the same salary as those who work with me who are doing equal work, and they refused.
Oh, do you have a vagina?
Wow, that was aggressive. Out of nowhere in the back corner.
I mean, is there anything that can be done about that?
By the way, we don't even know if this is a female.
I'm making the assumption based on that experience.
Which is, by the way, the problem with
Lawrence.
This entire world. Yeah. We all make these assumptions.
Yes.
Greg, what do you say to this question?
I say that you always have the option to work somewhere else, and you should try to,
thank you,
unfortunately, rather than fight it and worry about it, to worry about things being fair, which they just aren't. Sometimes you got to go and find another job, and you'll probably like the place that you get to next better.
You know what? Yeah. You know what it says to me?
What?
You know what? And it's interesting. Some of these questions. Some of these questions are so intelligent, and some of these questions are so insane. But some of these questions, you can just see they're not dealing with a full deck.
Yeah.
Don't write in a question and say, "Hey, I do the same job as somebody else, and I don't get the same pay, and I ask for it, and they won't give it to me." That's not the whole story.
Yeah, you don't think that's the whole story?
No,
you think
come
they're
on.
Not
I mean, does anybody
as...
out there driving down the road think that? I mean, look, I'm not saying that there are not situations, as Danielle pointed out,
where there's inequity,
where there's wage inequality. Yeah, and if that's what we're talking about, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But I know this. It would be helpful information.
Yeah.
To know if you were a woman making less than a man, for example, that's a different situation.
I don't want to start the brawl. But we went
but
through
you're
this.
Gonna anyways.
No, but we went through this. We went through this the other day. if you're unhappy with what you're getting paid, that's when you walk into your boss's office, poke him in the chest, and go.
That's what they did, and they didn't get any money.
Yeah. So they say, might be that you're not worth any money.
It might be. Right. The boss generally, I know people would like to think that the boss generally just arbitrarily points at somebody and says, I'm going to pay you more than everybody else.
Doesn't quite
but
work
they generally
that
don't do that. They pay the person that they really want to keep.
Right.
So this person says they're doing the same work, and how is the quality of that work? Like, that's what they're not including, right?
Yes.
So you just don't know.
Yes. No, but, you know, look, at the end of the day, men and women should be paid the same for the same job. We all, I think, agree with that. And I just, all I'm saying is that when you're asking these questions, you've got to give a little bit more detail sometimes.
What is the Massachusetts lemon law, and is it really possible to sell a car as is?
So, yes, you can sell a car as is.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
So, the lemon law, it's different between new cars and used cars.
Yeah.
So, let's just start with that. I assume because we're talking about selling a car.
As is.
We're going to focus on the used car lemon law, which means that basically, depending on your mileage, your warranty extends to a certain period of time. I think the minimum is like 10 days, and it's 10 days to get an inspection sticker.
Okay.
You can sell a car for parts only. It has to say it very clearly on the bill of sale that you're selling it for parts only. You acknowledge it's not a motor vehicle that qualifies for registration, and it's an as-is condition. You can do those things.
All right, we got time for one more during Ask an Attorney this week. This is Janet. Hello, Janet.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just have a general question. Can you use printed-out text messages in court?
Can you use printed-out text messages in court? This is an evidentiary question.
Great. I love those.
Thank you. Yes.
This is my forte.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is you can. And judges love these text messages.
They do.
Especially in a divorce situation.
Yes.
It's one of those things that kind of gets us all on the edge of our seats and puts a smirk on our face as we sit there day after day listening to the same thing. Yes, and then you get that one text where the anger came out at 2 a.m.
And it
gets read into the record, and you're looking at your client. What a dope.
You can.
Yes, you can. But understand this. It's going to go both ways.
Right. Screenshot everything.
You know, there's an old expression in the probate and family court, Greg. Ones don't marry tens.
Ones don't marry tens.
Oh. I'm sure that's going to be the blog headline. Ones don't marry tens.
Ones don't marry tens.
No.
Yes.
So if you're bringing in a text message, I have read more people's text messages than I care to admit. Doing this for 22-plus years. There is always something before the bad text that brings out the bad text. And there is typically something after the worst text that takes it to a whole new level.
Right.
All right. Yes. Well, that's good advice, as it always is, from Attorney Army. And that's Ask an Attorney every Wednesday on this show. And we always offer the disclaimer that when Larry is here,
or when LB's got back pain,
he's not acting as your attorney. He is just offering his opinion on the matter.
His personal opinion.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.